Thank you. How's this? Oh, very much better. Okay, good. Thank you. Well, how many is the first time you've ever heard me speak? I know several of you have. Okay, just a few of you. Well, I'll briefly just give a little background information, a little more, but I'll mention that my wife, Lisa, of course, she's at the back. If you want to say hi, hon. Our ministry is Cecil and Lisa Paxton Ministries, and, you know, we were released in the ministry a little over 30 years ago, and back in the first year of our marriage, and since that time, God has, you know, part of the preparation for the calling has been the fact that we've worked through three different parachurch ministries. My father was a pastor, so I'm a PK kid, and so, you know, coming up ministry was different for myself. The practical became very important in ministering to people and seeing people saved, healed, delivered, and saved, free from bondages. And, you know, just getting results in the area of ministry became important because I was constantly ministering to people and praying for people. And so I've got lots and lots of testimonies. In fact, I can remember, just almost 30 years ago, the first person that came out of a wheelchair and the first person that was blind and God opened their eyes. And, you know, when you're blind, you can't see, and suddenly you can see. Or like that little lady that, you know, hadn't walked in 25 years, and all of a sudden she's physically walking. If you had a physical limitation you were living with, and, you know, well, 25 years of your life just limited on what you can do, then, you would really enjoy freedom. You'd be so happy to be free. I mean, I shared yesterday just some of the testimonies of things I've seen just here lately that stand out. There's a lot more that happens, many different types of healings that manifested and different types of things. But and they're all wonderful, but the things that stand out, the kind of things that are notable, so to speak, that you know, I can remember. Because some things, people come up and tell me that I prayed for them, and they tell me what happened, and it's wonderful, but I just can't remember everything because, you know, we do so much travel and pray for so many people. I mean, no exaggeration, I mean, into the hundreds, if not thousands, you know, a few thousand, because in a year's time, we travel about three quarters of the year. I mean, just this last year, the nations, the countries that we've been in, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Germany, just all over conferences and meetings, and then Italy and Bulgaria and Greece and Russia, and just the things we saw. I mean, the lives that were changed, the insights, there's people around the world that are just hungry for God's word, and just the changes that come is just wonderful. And so that's very much where our heart's at. In fact, years ago, an Irish prophet prophetically over 20 years ago called us out of a meeting and spoke over us and, you know, was hearing by the Spirit of the Lord the will of God for our lives and said to come to England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, come and claim your inheritance was part of the prophetic word. And every time we go, it's just powerful what we see, but we minister across denomination lines. We've been in denominations like Catholic as an example that I don't have a Catholic background, but the doors God's opened, the things we've seen. In fact, ministering in Italy among some of the people, the salvations we saw, which is wonderful, just like one person after the other getting saved. It was just wonderful. And so the healings that manifested, in fact, just here in the U.S., some of the notable things that stand out was I was sharing yesterday, but little lady with, I'll share the elderly lady that had MS in living with pain. I mean, pain to the point that when I heard that she would come to church every single Sunday, I thought that was amazing. There's a lot of people with pain that won't go to the effort of coming to a church and sitting there and just being determined to force themselves to listen because it's hard to even think straight sometimes when you're living with pain. There's just constant pain in your body. It's just not fun. And so that lady had such pain that what she would do every single Sunday, she would go home afterwards and just fall into bed because if she could sit still and not move, just not move, and she could hopefully get rid of some of the pain and so try to find a way to at least exist without the pain being so great. But you know, she also had problems with her spine. She was with a walker, and you know, she was set free from MS. Her spine was healed. She straightened up to the point that she didn't need that walker anymore. That pain left her body as she was just set free from MS. Because when you pray for people, it's the life of Christ. It's the power of God that's setting them free. It's the presence of the Lord. It's his life that is being released into their physical body that brings change. And when it's God that is healing someone, then it's just the opposite of how things work when a human helps you like a doctor. When a doctor is helping you, then you're only free when the problem goes. Because that's the way things work when humans help us, when a doctor helps us. But when it's God, when it's his life and virtue that is setting us free, boy, let me tell you, physical problems just lose their ability to live and exist and stay in our body. When physical freedom comes, praise God, that is just wonderful. And so that little lady being free, she, you know, the pastor, he said this, he said he's never seen her smile. Because, I mean, if you're living with pain all the time, it's hard. It's hard to express joy. It's hard to just even relate to people, probably. It's difficult. You put forth an effort to try to be friendly and be kind to people because it's just simply not fun to constantly have that kind of extreme pain in your body. But that little lady, she made a supreme effort. But Jesus set her free to the point that when she left church, that pastor, he said this. He said she had the most beautiful smile. He said it was the first time he's ever seen her smile. Man, and she told him this, and she's on the way out the door, she's carrying her walker, totally free, not using it, carrying it. And she said this, she said, I'm going home and cleaning my floor. My, you know, I bet you that little lady had wanted to clean her floor for a long time. Physical freedom is good. I bet she had the best time with Jesus cleaning that floor. Man, a wonderful time. I can share many, many other wonderful testimonies, and I shared some yesterday, just powerful and such. But for the sake of time today, I'm going to begin to focus on what I have to share with you, the Word of God. And the Word of God is beneficial for our heart, but let me also say this ministry-wise. I know we've got a lot of teaching back there. In fact, I'm going to give some away and sow into your lives. And I'll say this, that as I do that, that we also have our mailing list back there. A lot of people don't realize it because sometimes I forget to say it. But if you go to our website, or if you will give your information on the sheet and give us your email address, we can put you on a video email that goes out once a month. And normally just sometimes we do more, but usually just once a month. And that video email is testimonies, mini teaching, and then also our newsletter goes out about the ministry. If you want to open up that and read, you can. But a lot of people do our video email that goes out around the world. We've got just just hundreds of people that we send that out to. So if you give us your information, we'll put you on our video email. It's like a little mini television shows up by email. And so you just click on it, and then there I am. And sometimes I do, every once in a while, have other people on with me. Because in our TV studio, then I've got the ability to have more than one person. So that's a blessing. And while I'm mentioning that, let me also mention that at the back, I've got some envelopes back there talking about our building. Our building, we're down to where originally it was over $500,000, and now we're down below $100,000. So praise God, I believe we're going to have it paid off soon. And so if you want to be a part of that, there is a single packet back there, like an envelope, that is more information. How even down to a square foot, you can be a part of that. The Lord puts it on your heart. So I believe that's good, because the finances coming into the ministry, I believe it's good for them to go into the kingdom of God instead of going to the banks. I'm not against the banks. I'm grateful for the banks, and we got a really good bank. But praise God, it's just better. It's best. I believe God for the best instead of second best. Praise God. So, might as well believe for the best. We get what we believe for. If your heart's fully persuaded, if it's just not what you're choosing to believe, but you really are trusting, believing God. Praise God. Also, our partnership packets are back there. In our partnership packets, we have many different types of partnerships. And I know it's the people that partner with us that you enable us to do the traveling that we're doing and reaching the people that we're reaching through the different avenues. And so we're grateful to our partners. And so there's many different types of partnerships, including business partnerships and different types for different people that can be a part no matter what. So that's back there as well. Our catalogs are back there, so feel free to grab one of those. More information about the ministry and then I'm going to give away, first of all, I'll give these two singles away. And one of them is my wife's testimony. And My wife was born with cerebral palsy, and she's got a powerful testimony of God's faithfulness in her life. So how many know someone that just needs a miracle? Well, I think you're the first person I saw, brother, right back there. So if you don't mind, let me just, would you mind help me, Steve? Or I'd throw it, but I might hit somebody if I did throw that smooth and small one. Thank you, brother. And you listen to it first, and then after you listen to it, brother, then you give it to the person you know that needs a miracle, because that testimony has had people in tears on the goodness of God and God's love. And so it's opened up many people's hearts because a lot of Christians don't even realize that that everything that was lost through the first Adam, God has restored through Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And so he, but a lot of Christians also don't understand receiving from God. And so they make God responsible sometimes to do things that leave Jesus out of the picture. And so they don't understand receiving. So that testimony is powerful. And I got a lot of teaching talking about that area to give you understanding, because salvation is about Jesus and healing is about Jesus. We don't just leave Jesus out of the picture and make it all about us. You know, but we receive salvation because of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. And then the same thing concerning healing. And so receiving from God is about Jesus Christ and coming to understand what that means. Every single one of the promises of God, all of them, are received in Christ Jesus. They're just not automatic. They're received in Jesus. And so coming to understand as Christians what that means to receive in Christ Jesus is important, because there are so many people that when they approach God, they try to receive because they've got a problem. That's how we get help from humans. Another person who cares about us, so to speak, in the sense that just do it for me. And so when you're receiving from God, it's about Jesus Christ. It's important to understand that. And God, he does do things for us out of love. But you see, the area of consistency in receiving from God is Jesus, because salvation works every single time for a believing person. Man, there's never a time it doesn't work. Praise God. This is a single about music and healing scriptures. One of the people on our board, pastor friend of mine, put this together, and so it's wonderful. Utilize a local lady in our area on the radio that was a beautiful voice by the name of Ellie Singer, and that she does the narration of the scriptures, and there's music. And so it's just a nice tool to listen, to meditate as you're listening to the scriptures, to establish truth within your heart. So who'd like to have this? Well, you're the first one I saw, brother. So gentleman there with all the colors in his shirt. Okay. And I tell you what, I'll give away one over here, and this one's titled "Guarding Our Heart." And so, this thanks, brother. You can give it to whoever would like to have it over there. Then we'll just pass it around. That is a teaching that I'll say this: that just real quickly, I taught a little boy that he had for 2 years in the area of cancer, just everything went wrong to the point that it produced fear within the heart of the parents. And that teaching is talking about how you protect your heart, especially when you've encountered so much bad in life, and you've had so much bad in life that in areas of life that whether it be financial, relational, or physical, to where it can just produce issues of unbelief within our heart because we just had too much bad. And so the ability to protect your heart and guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23 says to keep thy heart guarded with all diligence, for out of our heart springs forth the issues of life. Well, we live life right out of our heart. And so, you know, I taught that little boy how to keep his healing in the area from, you know, of cancer. And boy, even when the unbelief, I mean, he received, and when the area of unbelief began later to come out of his mother, he corrected her. Because he knew he was free, and he was refused to believe somebody else's perspective, which was a human perspective and not according to God's word, because he knew he was free. He experienced freedom on the spot where he had one leg up off the floor and embraces. Man, that leg hit the floor, and he could run and again and walk again and, you know, well, normally. So praise God. Man, I could say a lot more about it, but this teaching is titled, thank you, brother, Me, Myself, and Whoever would like to have that, Me, Myself, and Our Jesus. Okay. And that is foundational for this area I'm talking about concerning Jesus Christ, because in Christ Jesus, we find our life in him. And so it's very, very important to come to understand who we are in him and establish that truth, because the Lord began to speak to me when I was doing that teaching about himself. And so it's what that teaching is about, because Jesus is our life. Praise God. Well, today I'm going to begin. I've got a lot I can minister and a lot I can share, and I know this is a Sunday morning, so I'm not going to teach like I would in a Bible college, in the sense that I'm going to go for hours, because I could probably speak longer than you can listen, praise God. But but I am going to begin to share with something the Lord put in my heart this morning. And this morning, out of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, I'm going to begin in this area, because it says that we're in the King James and our New King James, that we're not to be slothful, but followers of them that through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, the scripture tells us that we're not to be slothful. Then you look at different translations. One translation talks about becoming sluggish. In other words, don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Basically, I'll say this, first of all, concerning inheriting the promises, and it's talking about imitating. You know, if you want to get results with God, get around those that get results. And I'm talking about results. You know, my first thought when I say that is this: there are people that they have the appearance of getting results, because I've come across people in the body of Christ that every once in a blue moon that there's really no consistency in their life. They just kind of act spiritual and talk spiritual, and they put on the image. But when I'm talking about getting results, I'm talking about the fact that you're seeing healings manifest, as an example, in the area of the physical and the area of finances. In other words, you come to understand how to receive from God, and you gain wisdom and insight and understanding in your heart and what the Word says in that area. You're getting results in the area of relationship issues of life. Man, your heart begins to change to the point that you relate differently, because the wisdom, the understanding of God is coming into your life to the point that you change. You're different in how you relate with people and relate with God. You're just a different person, and so you get results from that. And because you don't just do something you're supposed to do, your heart has understanding. And when your heart has understanding, you're just a different person, because you see things, because your heart involves perception, how you perceive and see and understanding. Because as understanding reaches your heart, then beliefs are established on the inside of us. As understanding from God's Word is established in a heart where the Word of God goes beyond just intellectual information. It goes beyond just something we read. It goes beyond just something we hear. And so as that truth comes alive on the inside, then we begin the process of taking on the identity of that truth. We begin the process of that truth becoming understanding, more than just information to us. And as the truth of God's Word begins to become understanding to our heart, and that process, we're changing. We're being conformed, as Romans 8:29 says, but conformed to the image of Christ. We're becoming like Jesus. In other words, our lifestyle, the way we live life, there's a reflection, an image that people can see. It's like you're different. You look, you know, it's like in areas of life, as an example, with financial problems, and they see us under with life, and they know about the financial problems, but they see we respond differently under the pressure of financial problems. They see that we've got confidence in our heart instead of fear within our heart. They see a difference. And they think to themselves sometimes, it's like, wow, if I was facing what you're facing, it would be like, man, I would be concerned or something, or I'd have, you know. But instead, they see a peace and that confidence coming out of us, because when your heart has understanding in God's Word in an area, you're not naive, you're not stupid, you're not just passive. No, there's understanding which has changed your life. And so with understanding, you make wise choices, wise decisions, and your heart has confidence when it comes to receiving from God, because you're not a novice anymore. You're not at a place where things don't work. You begin to get results. And so in relationship problems, it's the same way. When they see conflicts and problems, like as an example, I heard about two Christians on a job site who worked together, and one Christian was watching the other, and this person was just so ugly to them, and this person just, man, blasted them with such ugly communication. But he saw the immediate response that came out of the heart of his brother before he had time to even think. I mean, the first thing that came out of him was he was so merciful. He was so kind to this person. He thought about that, and later he saw that person, and when he saw him, he came up to him, he said, man, I can't believe you were so merciful. If that turkey had done that to me, I'd have knocked his head off. It's like, you know, but he was so merciful. But the fact is, you see, he saw that this person was different. You know, when you live what you believe, when you're under pressure and before you have time to think, it's what comes out of your heart, wham! It just comes out of you before you think. That's truth. that is established in your heart. That's something you don't just choose to believe. That's something where the Holy Spirit's been involved in the process of teaching you that truth. In fact, let me just jump ahead and share this in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read this from the Expanded Translation, starting in verse 6, it says, "Now the mind of the flesh, which is thinking and reasoning without the influence of the Holy Spirit, is death. But the mind of the Holy Spirit, which is thinking and reasoning with the influence of the Holy Spirit, is life and peace." In other words, be carnally minded, as the King James is talking about. In other words, carnal. Being carnal, in other words, then leads to death. But it says the mind of the flesh, in other words, the beliefs of our heart can determine how we think. It can determine the choices of our life. It can determine how we reason things, how we see things in relationship problems and financial problems, you know, physical problems of life. In other words, all the areas of challenges of life, the issues. And so the mind of the flesh, which is thinking and reasoning without the influence of the Holy Spirit, is death. In other words, Romans 8:2, the law, sin and death. It's not necessarily talking about physical death, but it's talking about the fact that Romans 8:2 says it's the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, which hath set us free from the law of sin and death that we live in. This law of sin and death that we live in, it's just simply the fact that we got a physical body. A baby becomes an adult. It grows. In other words, when the moment that you're born into this world as a baby, as a child, you're now connected to the law of sin and death. You're now connected to this natural realm that we live in. And so you don't live here forever. Life here is temporary. And so, but the thing is, we do live forever, but just not on this planet. Because, you know, the real us is on the inside. This flesh suit, like a space suit, so to speak, like a flesh suit, is just temporary, but it's our connection to this natural realm. And so in our heart and how we believe, we establish a way of relating to life based upon what our beliefs are, on how we see life, what truth is to us. And this is why God's word is so important for the benefit of our heart. We don't just want to have to believe something because we're supposed to. That doesn't work. But we want to see it with understanding. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, because it says here, the mind of the flesh, which is thinking and reasoning without the influence of the Holy Spirit, will always, I'll say it this way, it'll make us just look like unbelievers. We'll relate to life the same way an unbeliever does. We'll just, when it comes to physical problems, when it comes to financial problems, when it comes to, you know, relationship problems, we'll think and reason and make decisions and choices just like unbelievers do, no different than unbelievers. You know, that there won't be an image where they see Jesus, because it's like you're different, you know, and they can see something that's different about us. No, we'll just look like anyone else who's carnal, someone who's just carnally minded, who someone can understand why we think that way, because look what they just did. Yeah, I'd knock their head off too, so to speak. In other words, we think carnal. Carnal thoughts, carnal way of relating, you know, under the circumstances of life and things and such. And so, but see, the mind of the flesh, this thinking and reasoning without the influence of the Holy Spirit, the point I'm trying to make is this: we need the influence of the Holy Spirit as Christians. If you're not careful, what will happen is this: you've learned to live life in this physical flesh suit. You've learned to live life with a dependency upon yourself, and you can continue to live that way if you're not careful, and then just want God to do something for you, almost like externally try to show up, when the reality is this: your body was the temple of the Holy Spirit at salvation, 1 Corinthians 3:16. The moment you came into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit birthed the life of Christ on the inside of you. You've got His presence on the inside of you. So you're either going to yield inwardly to the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of God, as Luke 17:21 says, the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. The kingdom, so it's God's kingdom ways, and you connect to His kingdom life that dwells on the inside of you. When you yield and you're thinking and reason, you've got the help of the Holy Spirit, and you can connect to Him with His help. And in other words, I'll say this, as John's Gospel chapter 8 says, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, your helper will teach you. One translation says, every single area of life. In other words, He'll help you by teaching you if you let Him. But the thing about the Holy Spirit and thing about God is this: He doesn't force His will on us. He doesn't control us. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't tell us what to do. in a controlling manner. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, God is love. He doesn't just have love. He isn't just loving. He is love. That's his nature and character. That's who he is. And so someone that is something just simply doesn't change. That's who they are. And so God is love, which means that the way he relates to us out of that type of a nature and character is not manipulation, is not control. God doesn't relate to us by forcing his will on us. This is why our hearts must understand, and we must become like not children anymore. We must come into understanding of the true nature and character of God and who he really is for the benefit of our hearts, so that we can trust him, because faith is trust and confidence. Faith, from the Greek language in the New Testament, is when your heart becomes fully persuaded in God's word. This is through help of the Holy Spirit. You see, but the mind of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, the mind of the Spirit, which is thinking and reasoning with the influence of the Holy Spirit, is life and peace, that peace that works in your soul, that will guard your heart and guard your mind, that Philippians chapter 4 talks about. The peace of God that passes all understanding, and it passes just information alone. It passes just the fact that, well, this is the way it's always been. It passes just natural knowledge and natural understanding. Peace that will guard and protect your heart and guard your mind. You want the peace of God to protect that area of your life. If we choose ourselves over Jesus in the areas of life, if we don't turn to him when we're challenged in life, with life challenging problems, if we don't turn to him, but instead we pull within ourselves and we just rely upon ourselves and do things the way we've always done things, with a dependency on self, and use our thoughts, our mind, as it says in Romans chapter 8 verse 6, and just begin to think and make judgments and decisions according to the way we see it, the way we've always done it, and just stay in control, and we don't establish relationship with the Holy Spirit as our teacher to where he'll help us. He will help us, but you see, we have to let him. He doesn't force his will on us. He doesn't manipulate us. So it's important to establish relationship with the Holy Spirit as your teacher, because you see, Jesus introduced him to us, but not just as our teacher, but as our helper. Because if Jesus would have said, now the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach you, what does that make you think? I don't know about your thoughts, but my first thought is this. It's like, oh, he's going to tell me what to do. He's going to try to control me. You know, I don't know if you guys see, when I went to school, it was a long time ago. I know I don't look that old, okay. Yeah, but it's back in the old days. I'll put it that way. I'm just kidding. But see, I can remember teachers when I was a kid. I can remember one teacher that, man, she had the love of God in her heart. Believe it or not, her name was Happy. Mrs. Happy, but she knew Jesus. But you see, her heart had changed to the point that, in fact, I can remember my buddy of mine getting married out of high school, and because she was just one of the first few great teachers, and I can remember later in life him getting married, and then eventually having children, and then moving to that part of the country where I lived for a few years. But I remember, see, the love that little lady had for children. You couldn't get away with anything in her class, but you knew she cared about you. You knew she loved you. And she was always different. You could, because there was a type of expression of that love and acceptance she gave that it was just like she became your favorite teacher. And you know what my friend told me after I got married and then dropped by to visit him later, and as my wife and I were visiting, he's telling me about his kids that are just in their first few years of school, and it turned out she was still teaching school. And that little lady, she said, and he told me that, he said, and their favorite teacher is Mrs. Happy. That little lady was touching generations with God's love because she lived what she believed. Man, I tell you, that's good when what you believe is real to your heart, to the point that it's changed your life and how you live life. When the Word of God is just more than something we have to do. When God's Word comes alive on the inside through the work of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit has showed us that truth. Because Ephesians 1:18 talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. In other words, the light turning on. The Holy Spirit revealing truth to us to the point that something gets clear. It's like, wow, that's good. Because when he opens up the Word of God to you, and as your teacher begins to reveal truth to you, then there's an enlightening process. Light always speaks of God and Jesus. And so he reveals truth of who we are in Christ, what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross, who we are in him. And so when he reveals the word of God to us and we come to understand who we are in Christ, our identity in him, and any area of life, man, we're in that process of change, being conformed to the image of Christ, becoming like him. Because the Holy Spirit is teaching us. He's helping us by teaching us. And but you see, I can remember other teachers when I was young that were mean. Man, they were harsh and mean and cruel. And their method of, instruction, discipline, it's just like that. You know, I'll say it this way. They had a different heart. They were of a different heart. Because I'm sure they thought what they were doing was right. But when it came to the pressures of life, man, when they looked at the kids, they were just like little imps. It was just like, you've been making my life miserable for years. And it's like, and so harshness would come out of them and the way they relate to the kids. But you see, Mrs. Happy had a different heart. But she knew Jesus. She wasn't just saved. She wasn't just a person that was saved from hell. She's a person that came to know the nature and character of God, God's love. And it changed her heart. It changed her life. It changed the way she would relate to life, to the point that to her, her ministry was these children. Her ministry was, it's like, okay, I'm teaching them and I'm helping them in life, giving them an education. But her life was a living example of Jesus, to the point that you got to see something real come out of her. And your response was this. You really fell in love with it. It's like she's your favorite teacher. Man. A lady that can touch generations, that's a person whose heart's changed, who's not mean. Because you see, I'm sure some of those other teachers that were mean were Christians. But our heart changing, this is very, very important. We need the influence of the Holy Spirit because, you see, life. The life of Christ dwells on the inside of us. The presence of the Lord, our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, is on the inside of us. The kingdom of God is within us. We need his help. That's how close God is for you. We need to come, as John 10:27 says, we need to come to know his voice. Any Christian can come to know his voice. And we're not talking about people hearing voices who's got mental problems or things like that. I prayed for people like that and got them healed, like a grandmother hearing voices all of her life. Man, let me tell you, she got set free to the point those voices stopped. And then a year later, we came to that church. She wouldn't stop hugging my wife because she was so happy to be free, to be normal again, because she was just abnormal. She just wasn't normal. But no, I'm talking about hearing God's voice by the Holy Spirit, having an experience by the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you. That is very normal because that leads to life. That doesn't lead to weirdness. That leads to love. Something that's real is what I'm talking about. But you see, Hebrews 6:12 says this, that we're not to be slothful. Now let's say it a different way, because you see, usually when you look at that word slothful, or one translation says sluggish, and sometimes it's translated lazy, just being lazy. But really, what this word is talking about, when you look at it from the original language, is this. I'll paint you a picture and say it this way. It's a person who has become passive. It's a person that at one time, maybe there was a fervency within their heart for Jesus. Maybe there was a fervency. There was a fire of God on the inside of them. To some degree, there was like some fire within them. There was a fervency on the inside at one point, to some degree, whatever that degree was, to where that their own heart motivated them and the choices and decisions they make in life. Maybe they loved to come to church. Maybe they had a value for God's word to the point that they loved to listen to the word of God because they had a value for God's word. They understood the benefit of God's word for their life and for their heart. And so coming to church wasn't a hard thing. Coming to church was something they wanted to do. You ever been forced to come to church? I can remember when I was a kid. I can remember the fun things you could do, and I can remember it's like, when your dad's a pastor, it's like you're going to be in church. Yeah. It's just like, the old story goes about the man that was complaining about man not wanting to go to church and how much he didn't like it. And those people that don't love me and such. And so his wife said, "Hun, you've got to go." He said, "Tell me one good reason." "Well, you're the pastor." It's an old joke. Nah, but the fact is this, though. You know, when you do something because you want to, that's your own heart. And, you know, I am grateful to my parents because, you see, yes, when you're little and you're young, you know, there's a lot of things you want to do, but they understood the things in life that had value, what was really important. It just took, it took me years until I was older in life, until I, with understanding, came to my heart that I could see things from their perspective and realize the benefit of what they was doing. Because as you sit under the teaching of the Word of God and you keep hearing God's Word, no matter what the condition of your heart is, let me tell you, the Word is going forth and it will have an effect. Because later in life, you might be challenged in a way of life that you, that's all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring things you've heard back to your remembrance. And it might make a difference in your life at a later time in your life, where it may make a big time difference, where you'll turn to Jesus instead of being destroyed in life and pull within yourself. And so God, you know, it's beneficial, even if we're forced to come to church, so to speak. But there comes a time, though, where suddenly we change, when we can see it for ourselves, when Jesus becomes real to us, and there's no longer that, well, it says not to be slothful. In other words, don't let the fire go out. Don't become someone who's passive, who just wants everyone to do everything for you, and you really have no love for God's Word, no desire for His Word, and you really think that our way is the way we see it's right, because it's just what we want. And the way we see it, we can just see the benefit of the way we see it, because we come to our own judgments on the way we see it. But see, the danger of being slothful is this: we really aren't followers. Because, in fact, you know, as I say this word follower, I'm thinking of this. It says followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, if you're going to learn from someone, you want to learn from someone that gets results. You don't want to learn from someone that thinks they know something and they just a bunch of powder, just a bunch of air, just a bunch of noise, and they look like something. Because you, if your heart's at the place where you make judgments by appearance, and a lot of Christians do, it's like, oh yeah, they look like they're a Christian. But no, there's no proven relationship. They don't really know the heart of that person. They're just listening to what they're saying or what they're doing. But relationships are established over time. Christians who gets hurt, especially young Christians who come to church and they think that, well, God's perfect, everything's perfect, and oh, if you're a Christian, you got to be perfect. And all of a sudden, they realize they're not perfect sometime, and they get hurt by not seeing perfection come out of them in some area of life. And so sometimes young Christians, you know, they get hurt and say, I thought they were a Christian. I opened my heart to trust them, and they just betrayed my trust. And they didn't know that person. They didn't have established relationship with that person. That's relationship based on speculation. That's not a true relationship. There's a beginning in any relationship when you come to get to know people. But 1 Peter 3:4 talks about the hidden man of the heart being the real person, who you are on the inside. Do you really know the heart of that person yet, when you're just in the beginning of establishing a relationship with someone? We're all at different places in our walk with God. We all have areas of our life where there needs to be more change, areas where God's Word can open up for us for the benefit of our life. We're all in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. You see, if you want to learn from someone, get around someone that gets results, is what this scripture is talking about. See, I'm thinking about a person, that young man that, in fact, I was just thinking about him just the other day, and I haven't seen him in years. But you see, what was unique about this young man was this. He had a father who had a poverty mentality. He grew up in a family with a father with a poverty mentality. His father always thought with a poverty mentality. Every decision he made in life was from a position of lack. Like, we can't afford that, or this or that. And he had the kind of father in life that he loved his father. His father wasn't a bad man. His father was a good man in the sense of just being good and evil. But his father in life, you know, he didn't really understand how to prosper. And it's like he always had lack. He just like he never in life, he always had second best. You never had the best in life. And it's like the decisions he made in life was just only secondhand decisions. It was always from a poverty mentality, always the things that would come out of his mouth, because Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And so the things that would come out of his father's mouth were constantly negative, or constantly things that were just, you know. In fact, what he came to realize, his son, he came to realize by watching other men who were succeeding in life and being successful, he came to realize that, you know what, I'm going to never learn to be successful from my father alone, because he can't teach me. He hasn't got the ability to teach me, because his father didn't teach him. It's just not in his heart. It's just not the kind of person he is. But my dad's not a bad person. I mean, I got a good dad. And so what he did on his own was he found a man in church that, and he watched him and had proven relationship with him, and a man that was successful in life, a man that didn't get there by accident. It's like he got there on purpose. A man that with wisdom could make decisions and get results because of the wisdom that was within his heart. It's like he could see things other people couldn't see. And that young man went to this man and asked him if he would mentor him, if he'd teach him how to be successful in life and succeed in life. And that man did, because of the humility, the humbleness that came out of his heart. Because if you're going to teach anyone, then you can't teach a person that is unteachable. You can't, well, I put it this way. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 talks about casting anxiety upon the Lord. Do you know why Christians have difficulty casting anxiety upon the Lord, casting their cares when they're going through challenging problems of life? Instead, their heart's trained to reach out and take a hold of their problems according to what they believe about them. And it's just what they always do. It's just what they do all the time. Their heart's trained to do that. But you know why Christians really don't successfully cast their anxiety, their cares upon the Lord? Because they don't understand verse 5. They don't live verse 5 as a way of life in verse 6. Verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The proud that is talking about here is not an external proud. It's not, see, the humility that is talking about, the humble, being humble is of our heart. It's not an outward humbleness. It's not like when you look at them, they look like humble pie because they always walk around like humble pie and then talk like they're just, you know, like they're nothing. That's not what that scripture is talking about. The humility, the humbleness is of the heart. It's not an outward appearance, it's inward. And it's only not with man, it's when it comes to God. The humility of heart is this: do I exalt my beliefs in my heart when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to God? Or when it comes to approaching His Word, when it comes to letting the Holy Spirit be my teacher, is there a humility, humbleness of heart? Other words, I said this as a young Christian in my single days. I watched people who God was using and hearing His voice and hearing very accurately, and I looked at that and I said, I want that. I desire that. I had a hunger for that. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, as I'm looking at this and desiring this, the thought came up on the inside of me, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit helping me, because you see, at that time in my life, I just wasn't smart enough to think this way. The Holy Spirit, He can make you look really good. He can help you if you let Him. But see, the thought that came on the inside as I was praying to the Lord within my heart, as I was praying, what I said was this. I said, Lord, you speak to me. Holy Spirit, you speak to me. I'll put your voice in a place of prominence over my own. I wasn't smart enough to think that way. I tell you, the Holy Spirit will help you if you let Him. You see, I came to know God's voice over time. I came to know His voice because I had the help of the Holy Spirit. I began to have experiences with God that were personal experiences. Well, I came to know His voice. But you see, within my heart, I said this: if you speak, I'll put your voice at a place of prominence. That became a way of life for me, a way of life that is in Christ Jesus. Because you see, when it comes to His voice, you humble your heart. If you prepare your heart for His voice, you'll humble your heart. When He speaks, you'll put His voice at a place of prominence over your own. And you can be tested in that area, because later in life I was tested. Married and in the first few years of marriage and going through some challenging problems. And I took my problems to bed with me. Not a smart thing to do. Your heart consumed with anxiety of the problems of life and all the issues. You know what? You take your problems to bed with you, just don't sleep good. And so I woke up in the middle of the night. And when I woke up, the first thing I did was put my thoughts on my problem, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to wallow in the muck, in the mire of all of my problems, just wallow in them and just try to fix them myself and just look at them. And they were bothering me because they were making me feel this emotion and feel that based on the beliefs and the thoughts that were being produced as I was looking at the problem. See, I wasn't looking at Jesus, as Hebrews 12:2 says. Looking into Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we look to him, man, it produces faith on the inside. It'll produce something. We'll get his help. Confidence will begin to come as we're taking our eyes off of ourselves and finding truth found in Jesus Christ, in God's word, with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to look to Jesus. And so I wasn't doing that. Instead, I was just doing it my way, being carnally minded, as Romans 8:6 says, because there was no influence of the Holy Spirit. Was thinking and reasoning without influence of the Holy Spirit. It was just me trying to fix the problem on my own. Just do it my way. Then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. But you know what? In my heart, I did not want to listen to his voice. I wanted to do it my way. But you see, Proverbs tells us that you can write on the table of your heart, Proverbs 6:6, I believe it is, can write to the table of your heart. And there are times in life that we write things like I did when I was a young Christian. If you speak to me, I'll put your voice at a place of prominence. I wrote that to the table of the heart. That became a truth to me with his help. That became a way of living life. When it comes to his voice, I humble my heart. See, God opposes the proud. What it means is this. He can bless what he's accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ. He just can't bless our flesh. Because that's self being exalted. That's like, my ways are better than your ways, God. That's what's coming out of our heart, so to speak, when we exalt our own beliefs within our heart against the truth in God's word. And that's what I was doing without it realizing it. I was trying to fix the problem myself without relying on his word, without turning to him for wisdom and understanding and answers out of the word of God. Instead, I was just doing it my way. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, but you know, I didn't want to listen to his voice. But I'm going to tell you something. Because I wrote something to the table of my heart, I already knew I was going to stop doing what I was doing, and I was going to listen and do and be obedient to what he was telling me. Because you see, God's ways work. If you ever experience his ways and see the benefit of his ways and let it prove something to your heart, it will give your heart confidence to the point that you will love his ways. His ways are not controlling. He's not manipulating. We don't have to do his ways. He'll still love us whether we do them or not. God is love. He's not upset at us if we don't do things his way. When it says God opposes the proud, he's not upset at us. It's just the fact that he can't do it our way, because our way doesn't get the results of his ways. His ways are what works. And so when we humble our heart, when there's a humility of heart, then our beliefs aren't on the inside, aren't exalted to the point that we only listen to ourselves. Instead, there's a humility of heart, because when he speaks, we put his voice at a place of prominence. We put the word of God at a place of prominence above us, because we value Jesus. We value what his body and his blood has accomplished at the cross. His death for us, what he suffered for us, his death, his burial, his resurrection is very, very real to our heart. Because as Christians, we find our life in Christ, not in the arm of our flesh, not in ourself, but in him. As Colossians 3:4 says, he is our life. We find our life in him because, you see, thinking and reasoning with the influence of the Holy Spirit connects us to the life of Christ that dwells on the inside of us, God's life. And peace in our soul, because, you see, when we do it our way, then it comes with striving. It comes with self-effort. But when we're in the process of listening to him, that process of change, that process of doing things his way, man, there's peace in our heart. Peace, as Philippians chapter 4 talks about in verse 6, if you'll do what's in verse 6, you'll experience verse 7. Verse 7 says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which will guard your heart and guard your mind, protect the very two areas and be protected as under the weight of life's problems. When your heart and your mind is protected, guess what? It gets easy to hear God's voice. It gets easy for God's word to open up to us. It gets easy for the Holy Spirit and experience his help. It's only hard when we're in control. And we're very, very sensitive to us, but become insensitive to him. Our heart becomes hardened, as chapter 4 Hebrews talks about, the hardness of heart. Our heart gets hardened towards God when it's sensitive towards us. then it gets hardened towards God. Then it gets hard to hear his voice. It gets hard to receive his promises. It gets hard to receive his help because our heart is exalted on the inside with self, with our ways. We don't have to do it his way. We get to do it his way. It's a benefit. But God loves us no matter what choices we make in life. Even if we keep making the wrong decisions, he doesn't change towards us. Would we change towards our kids? Not if we love them. If we love our children, and in our heart, they're always our kids. Whether they're good or bad, they never stop being our kids, and we're always for them and never against them. We want to see them be successful and succeed in life if we really love them. If that's not in the heart of a parent, then there's no true love within your heart. There's a selfishness within you. It's about you, and there's a selfishness on the inside, not true love. Because true love is, man, if your kids are more successful for you, your heart is blessed. It brings you joy within your heart to see them succeed in life and be successful in life and succeed. My. I tell you, it's just simply wisdom that through faith and patience, you inherit the promises, the faith that is required from your heart, but the process we go through for heart changing, because you see, it requires patience. It takes time for us to change, because sometimes the challenges we've gone through in life are just not small challenges, and the areas where we're changing is a longer process because the challenge was greater to our heart, and it just takes time for the beliefs of our heart to change. And God is patient with us, but through faith and patience, you will inherit the promise. Do you imagine what that young man had to go through for change? Everything didn't happen overnight. He'd had a lifetime of an example from a father who did everything wrong. And a father in life that made the wrong decisions, wrong choices in life, lived like a poverty lifestyle. When it came to choose a home in life, he didn't choose a good home. He would find a home that was in the worst area of town because he believed that's all he could have in life, because that was a condition of his heart. So every single time when it came time to making decisions and choices in life, it was always from a poverty mentality. It was from a lack mentality because in his heart, he believed he just can't have that. And so the son had to change, and it was going to take time for it to change, because all of his life, for those 17 or 18 years, all of his life, all he saw was the wrong example, and that was in his heart. And it just simply takes time for a heart to change. I talked about a friend of mine yesterday at the college that we got married over 30 years ago in the very same year, lived within the same complex, when we first got married, within just doors of each other for the first 6 months to a year or so. But you see, a good friend, but a friend who had a father that taught him since he was young how to be successful in life. And so he had it within his heart to do the same thing for his children, but he wanted 12 kids. And I don't know how many he's got now. It's been about maybe almost 7 or 8 or years or so. But the last time I was around him, he had 7. But I mentioned the other day that no teenage rebellion, because the relationship he has with his children is a wonderful relationship, because what I saw come out of their heart is this: they trust him. They like to listen to him because he's helped them in every area of life to be successful and succeed. He's been pouring his heart into them, not controlling them, not manipulating them. He cares about them, and since they've been little kids, he's been doing that to the point that when they were young, they knew they were different than their friends. They thought different. They had more understanding, more insight, more wisdom than their friends did. They could see things on a level their friends couldn't see, because your heart involves perception, how you perceive and see and understand. And they didn't get that place by accident, and they realized they were different, and they were being successful in life, in areas of life, relationally, with relationship problems. They handled relationship problems different than their friends did, and they were getting success and being successful relating with people. They had confidence and peace in their heart, and their self-worth was established in God instead of themselves in life. And you don't get to that place by accident. You get that place by imitating those who faith and patience inherit the promises, who are getting results. And then financially in life, succeeding at a very young age and with wisdom of understanding because of the time the father took to impart in their life. You just can't take somebody where you haven't gone. You understand what I'm saying? But you see the other young man finding someone. I encourage you in all areas of life, Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Establish wise relationships. Really come to know the heart of the people. Don't just make a judgment where you think you know them. Find out if it really does work and they really do get results. And establishing in truth within your heart in areas of life. And you might have many mentors in life, many teachers, so to speak, in a sense. But get around those, connect with those in the body of Christ and get results. God's word works and they get results. Find out why it works. Seek out answers, because nobody can make you do anything. You've got a free will to do what you want to do. I just encourage you to consider doing it God's way. Be imitators of whose faith and patience inherit the promises. Praise God. Well, thank you, brother. Man.
Hey, man, I love your teaching on the heart, Cecil. It's awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, Stan, this morning, and you know, if you need prayer, we're here. We'd like to pray for you, just minister life to you. So if you'd like to have prayer, I'd love for you to come up. And, you know, maybe today is your day. You haven't committed your life to Christ. Well, he's here for you. Praise God. And we're here for you as well. So let's just take a minute, bow your heads just a moment. Father, thank you for this word today. God, we just love that word and just take it into our hearts. And, Lord, that we would just have that peace of God always, always present in our hearts and minds, God. Thank you for Cecil today and Lisa and their ministry, God, and their love and their wisdom. Lord, I'm so thankful for their friendship, God. Lord, we just ask that you would move in the hearts of your people today, Lord, and if there's here those that are here this morning that just need us to agree with them, God, to release life, that need healing. Lord, we're here today to do that, and we thank you for that today. And we give you praise. And this morning, while your head's bowed, if you'd like to come up for prayer this morning, we'd love to pray with you. We'd like to agree with